Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. We hope you had a great 4th of July holiday weekend. Sean Carey here. Steve will be there in just a few from the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Our email is stevejones@wkok.com. Drop us a line anytime, stevejones@wkok.com. You can also find us on social media, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, our Twitter handle at Steve Jones PSU, and you can subscribe to our free podcast. We're on iTunes, Apple Podcast app, and Google Play. Search Steve Jones Show, hit subscribe, and then we'll drop the shows right to your smartphone and tablet. You can listen to them anytime, anywhere. Also, you can go back in time. We have access of 3 months of previous shows. Just go to stevejonesshow.com and click podcast archive. And today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. When life happens, you want to make sure you have the coverage you need. And that's why the great folks at Purdy will customize a policy that fits your needs, your specific budget, and it's at a price point that you can afford. And they deal with the products and brands that you know and trust. So stop by and see them on Market Street in Sunbury or go to purdyinsurance.com. Crazy weekend in the NBA. We now know where Kawhi Leonard is going. And we'll talk about that with Yaron Weitzman, NBA writer from Bleacher Report. Have him on scheduled at 4:35 this afternoon. Look forward to that very much. Penn State football gearing up for Lift for Life. That'll be coming up on Friday afternoon on campus. Of course, that always ties in with the Central PA Festival of the Arts. Yes, it's Arts Fest Week in State College. So Steve will be part of Lift for Life on Friday night. So you're planning on heading out to University Park for that. We'll talk more about that as we roll through the week. Baseball All-Star Game is coming up tomorrow night. Home Run Derby tonight. Christian Yelich not taking part in the Home Run Derby tonight. That was announced last night. Josh Bell of the Pirates, he'll be in the Home Run Derby tonight. He'll also be in the starting lineup for the National League tomorrow night in Cleveland. Phillies off until Friday. They get back into a divisional play against the Nationals. See if they can keep the Nationals in third place instead of second. So, of course, we'll have more Phillies action next weekend here on 1070 AM WKOK. USA Women's Soccer winning the FIFA Women's World Cup yesterday in France. 2-0 shutout over the Netherlands.
Yeah, terrific. Listen, Nair got the shutout. Penn State's own, Allie Krieger, Penn State's own, played the entire second half after Kelly O'Hara went out. And their fourth World Cup in eight, back-to-back. And next up for them as a national team will be the Olympics next year in Tokyo. The question is, how many members of this team will be a part of the Olympic team? Megan Rapinoe is 34. Carly Lloyd is obviously, in terms of national experience, probably at the end. Allie Krieger probably is at the end. They didn't bring Allie back until April, and that move paid huge dividends. But the and one has to wonder whether Alex Morgan will give it one more shot. Maybe at the Olympics she would. World Cup, maybe not, 4 years down the road. But the interesting part of this, now post-mortem, is not that they've won, which is great, but they've used the platform of winning to discuss what's an important issue, and that is equal pay. And it is an important issue, especially in this country. In this country, they have sued the Soccer Federation here, and they filed the lawsuit on March 28th. And in filing that suit, they talked about equal pay for the national teams. Well, in this country, to me, that is about as big a no-brainer as you're going to get. Because in this country, the men's national soccer team is one of frustration and is not growing the game. The women's soccer program wins, plays an exciting style, and grows the game. And you're telling me the men in this country are making more money than the women? Really? I mean, essentially, that's what we're talking about here. Who's growing the game more in this country? The men's national team here? Or the women's national team? Well, the women's national team is exciting and winning. The men's national team is frustrating. And that's where the equal pay problem comes up. Now, on a World Cup stage, this is where FIFA has to make its decision. Now, the U.S. players are suing their own federation for gender discrimination. And FIFA is going to award $30 million in prize money for the Women's World Cup. The men received $400 million last year. Now, in a business sense, let's just talk in a business sense. Okay, you can't think about this in terms of the United States. You cannot think about this in terms of the United States. The Men's World Cup is the biggest event worldwide. And what they're saying is they're going to double the women's prize money to $60 million in 2023. But the men's tournament in 2022 in Qatar is going to be $440 million. And so we can debate worldwide if you want, but in this country, who's done more for the game in this country? The women's national team or the men's national team? And it doesn't take but seconds to say it's the women's team that's done more for soccer in this country. Just the way it is. In this country, that's the way it is. I don't know what you think about that, Sean, but I think that in this country that's a no-brainer, that the women should be making exactly what the men are making. They've done more to grow the sport in this country than the men have. The men are frustrating.
Yeah, I did see those stats.
And people don't watch our men's team play. Hey, they didn't even qualify for the last World Cup. The ratings for the women's team are off the charts. Fox is scoring big. And I'll tell you right now, executives at Fox are sitting there in Los Angeles going, Oh, thank goodness for the women's team. Seriously, because the men's team kills them.
It is awesome that the women are going to get double the pay for the FIFA Women's World Cup in 2023, but it's still staggering to see that differentiation from 440 down to $60 million. It's great that the women's money is going to double, but still the men get a 10% bump up.
But what do we see worldwide, though? Okay, let's take Brazil. In Brazil, the thought of the men's team and the women's team, the men's team is the be-all, end-all. In Argentina, the men's team is the be-all, end-all. In Spain, England, Italy, Germany, right? I mean, I'm not exaggerating here, but in this country, no. In this country, in a lot of ways, the women's team is the be-all, end-all. I mean, the men's team has done virtually nothing forever. They've won, let's see, they beat Colombia in 94 when Colombia scored an own goal. And in Brazil, they won their opener, right? And I think that's been it.
Problem is then, you turn that around, then 1998 rolls around and they went 0-for. They went 0-for-3. And I believe they got shut out by Iran that year.
Well, no, I'm talking about that. To me, the only two wins I can remember for the men's team were in Brazil.
Yeah.
I can't even remember they beat. I remember they had a chance to beat Portugal. And then Portugal scored twice late and beat them. And then I remember the game in the Rose Bowl where the defender for Colombia put the ball in his own net and then, of course, a month later was killed. Those are the only two wins I can remember on that stage in my lifetime. Women's team had that in a week.
We just wait for the program to break out. And just with all the, you'd think with all the resources and and how many youngins across the country, they love to play soccer, but then by a certain time, certain age, they stop playing the game. It's like they hit a wall or something.
Well, in men's sports, you do have a lot of options. Football, baseball. I mean, yes, there's women's hockey. Yes, there's women's basketball, but there's a greater percentage of men paying. But the equal pay thing, equal pay for the now, they've sued the U.S., not FIFA. They should be getting equal pay here, no question about it. On the world stage, that's an interesting question because the TV ratings are higher in this country when the women play than the men. Because, well, first of all, the last time the men played in a World Cup was 2014, right? The women have won in 15 and in 19. And so the equal pay thing, because they sued the federation here, they did not sue FIFA. Here, no question, should be equal. No question. On the world stage, you could have an honest business debate. An honest business debate on the revenue generated by the Men's World Cup versus the revenue generated by the Women's World Cup. I mean, you have to. At some point, you've got to start basing some of the decisions on the business part of it and take everything out of it. As I mentioned many times, let's take Ford. Ford, Lincoln, Mercury. You notice they don't make Mercuries anymore. Why? They didn't sell. Well, they sold some, but not enough. So now you've got Ford Lincoln. They sell. You know, in the business world, that's how it operates. So for FIFA and the World Cup, and FIFA, we all know FIFA is, you know, they lead the league in potential corruption. But they could make a business argument. This is the value of the World Cup when the men play versus this is the value of the World Cup when the women play. And then you start divvying it up based on the business model. Here in this country, though, the women and what they've accomplished and their popularity, and again, let's go back to the business model. On the business model, okay, look at the ratings the women generate. Look at the excitement they generate. Look how much they've grown the game. They've done more for the game than the men have. I mean, the men lose to Trinidad and Tobago. I mean, you've got people not even bother watching them anymore. Ah, great. They're going to play Mexico. They're not going to win. Hey, the women are playing today. They might beat the Netherlands and win the World Cup. Let's watch that. That's why Megan Rapinoe the other day, I thought she handled this answer all wrong when she was asked about the two other major competitions taking place on the same day, and she said it was disrespect. It's actually the other way around. You're playing in the World Cup, okay? Because you're playing for the World Cup title, everyone knows you're the big match of the day, without question. The other ones are the potential to grow the game in this country. But there's no doubt who's number one. Hey, by the way, it's a full day of soccer, by the way, which can help grow the game in this country. So it's not disrespect. Everybody knows what the number one event of the day is. Everybody knows that. So I didn't think she handled that question right. And I thought her answer was a bit short-sighted when it came to that, because you're trying to grow the game as much as you can. And everyone knows that the other two competitions that took place are not in the same league as the World Cup. Have a little more confidence in your product, in your sport, where they're not competing head-to-head with you. It's just like when the Indy 500 and the World 600 are raced the same day. It's the same thing. It does more to help auto racing on that particular day than any other day going. Yesterday helped soccer in a lot of ways. So I thought it was, you know, you got to have a little more foresight than that. All right, we'll take a break. Back with more in a moment. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. All right, Tony and Shamokin's holding to talk about soccer. Hello, Tony. How are you today?
I'm just fine for a Monday.
for a Monday.
I think it's unfair to compare the women's soccer and the men's soccer. Like you said yourself, the rest of the world in men's soccer, Germany, England, Italy, Spain, South America, that is their sport. That's who our men are competing against.
Yep.
They're top athletes.
Mm-hmm.
Women's soccer in the other countries, I don't know how popular it is. And in our country, well, yeah, our women are good. They're great.
Yeah, and that's why in this, that's why I said there's two different arguments here. I say in this country here, because there's, you get paid in two different ways. They should get equal pay in this country, and that should, work out.
Take into consideration who our men are competing against.
Yes, except I can look at TV ratings, and I can look at on-field success as a business model, and say the business model of what they're doing to grow the game and making it more popular is greater than the men happens to be. Thus, they should be paid accordingly.
Well, then maybe if they get paid more, they should give that money to the men's team to help them out. Like they forced them to do in the NCAA.
Well, the men's team here, I think, has to do a little bit more, Tony, to help itself. You can't go out and lose to Trinidad and Tobago.
No, you can't. You're going to lose to Germany and Italy and England.
Oh, no, I know that, but I'd like to at least clear the Trinidad and Tobago hurdle first, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, I got it. But I'll tell you what ruined the whole thing for me is the politics that got into it.
Sure. It does for everybody.
Did we actually need that for the sport? I didn't even bother watching.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Say, when it comes to Purdy Insurance, you want to be around the best, and they are absolutely that. I don't care whether it's auto, home, life, business, whatever the insurance need happens to be, they'll take care of it for you, finding you the best insurance, right price, best price, in fact. And if there's ever a claim, my goodness, they will go to work for you in a heartbeat because they're your partner in this. Customer service means everything to them. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. All right, we were talking about equal pay. Again, in this country, to me, I feel that the women have earned within this country, they've earned their spot of equal pay. They've earned it. They've earned it through performance. They've earned it through TV ratings. If you're doing an absolute business model, okay, they've earned it through performance, they've earned it through TV ratings, and they've earned it through growing the game. The men's team in this country has not checked any of those boxes. Now, if the men's team were to advance at some point to the quarterfinals of a World Cup. I didn't say win it. I didn't say semifinals. If the men were to somehow, let's just say happens in Qatar, advance to the quarterfinals of the World Cup, get to the final eight, you would see people for that quarterfinal matchup watching it, in my opinion, on TV sets and watch parties left and right all over the country. I think it would really excite the populace. But the difference is the women have done that. They've won four times. They've won back-to-back. You got thousands at a watch party in Atlanta, thousands at a watch party in Kansas City. You know, they had 600 to 700 people for a watch party here at Panzer Stadium yesterday to watch the Women's World Cup. Through performance, okay, TV ratings, and growing the game, the women in this country have checked all the boxes. The men's team has not checked any of those boxes. They have not really, okay, when they do play in a World Cup, their ratings are good, but they play for a round or two, and that's it. And then after that, fans of the men's game have to watch Germany play Brazil, which is terrific, but let's face it, the casual fan is not drawn to that. When it comes to performance, no. When it comes to ratings, it's a conditional. They don't play long enough to generate a constant rating over a World Cup or the Olympics. I mean, the women are going to play in the Olympics. They'll be going. People will be excited to see if they can get a gold medal in Tokyo. And then in terms of growing the game, because the women have been so good, play an exciting style, I feel like they've been growing the game in this country. the men, and as I said to Tony, right, you got to go over the Trinidad and Tobago hurdle first before you start thinking about conquering Germany on a soccer pitch or England. So equal pay in this country, yes. Now, on the world stage, we can have a different debate. And again, you've got to take emotion out of it. It is so easy emotionally to say, yes, they should have equal pay. Guess what? Hey, on a business sense, you get a different answer. You cannot sit in the cocoon of this country soccer-wise and say that they should get equal pay to the men. You've got to be able to get out there and get a real sense, like, how many tens to hundreds of millions of people who watch the World Cup when the men play, regardless of which countries are playing, how much money it actually does generate, right? There's a lot of business parts of it. Now, should the gap be closed between the two? Yes, the gap should be closed. But I think we have to have a better business sense. Again, Ford, Lincoln, Mercury. Mercury wasn't generating numbers. Mercury got dropped. That's business. And you've got to sometimes think of things in a business sense and take the emotion out of it. When I was talking about equal pay in this country for men and women on soccer, guess what? In business, the women are checking all the boxes. Performance, TV ratings, growing the game. The men are not checking any of the boxes. I mean, when they have an occasional, like, hey, wow moment, the country's really engaged. The problem is their performance level has not allowed them to be consistent delivering any of the other parts of it because they haven't been consistent. The women have been. They've earned every dime they're going to get. They've earned it. Tony says you can put more money into the men's program, they can compete. Tony's talking investment. That I completely understand. I understand the investment part of it. But now I'm talking about who's earned their spot at the table. And again, I go back, the TV ratings for the women's game are huge. But, for example, I'll give you one, Brazil. Brazil has a fabulous star in Marta. Fabulous star. But guess what? In her own country, it's like, eh. Because the men, their game owns the soul of that sports country. The sports soul of that country is owned by the Brazil men's soccer team. It's just a fact of life. It's not a... So Tony makes a really good point about investing in the men to get them to compete with Germany, England, Brazil, Argentina, Spain. I'd say Italy, but they didn't make the last World Cup either. So in terms of this country, and again, the lawsuit is with the U.S. Federation. It's not with FIFA. That needs to be worked out. Because every dime that they will get out of this, they've already earned. They've won. And not only that, they've got people watching them, and they've got people who are gravitating to the game because of how they play. Now, what will happen is they'll play in the Olympics next year. There'll be people very interested in them next year. No offense, but they will disappear from the radar in 21 and 22. It's just the nature of the sport. Of certain sports are like that. When it's not an Olympic year, or in this case a World Cup year, for a couple of years, they will disappear almost completely from the consciousness of the sports country. It's just the way it is. And can anybody tell me who right now are the top five pole vaulters in the country? It's not an Olympic year. So there are people, you have no idea who it is. Next year when they go to Tokyo, hey, you know what? You'll know a little bit more about pole vaulting. Who are the top snowboarders in the country right now? Oh, that's right. It's not an Olympic year. You know, you disappear for 3 years. Even though you're competing, you're having competitions, you disappear for 3 years. Who's the number one in skeleton in the country? I don't know.
Who's going to be the number one breakdancer in the country? I can't believe they're bringing breakdancing to the Olympics. This is crazy.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because when we were at Penn's Tavern and the suit came out, he tripped.
And pre-qualifier.
My first thought was there is a gold medalist in the making. That was terrific. I looked at you. I said, well, I didn't know he had those kind of moves. And you looked at me and I said, I'm not going to tell you how it happened.
The only thing that didn't happen, he wasn't going toward the river when that happens.
Okay, now let's get to baseball. It is the All-Star break. Let's give you a tale of two cities in the same state. In Philadelphia, they are 47-42. They are five games over 500. Five games over 500. Yet, they are six games out of first place. Yet, as of today, Philadelphia would be in a one-game wild card playoff game with the Washington Nationals. Okay? Pretty good. Except the fans in Philadelphia are very disappointed. They expected their team to be in first place right now. They expected them to have the six-game lead over the Braves and not be six games back. So despite the fact that they are five games over 500, despite the fact that they would be in the wild card, one-game wild card playoff game today, if the season ended today, and despite the fact that they've won eight of their last 10, they're 5-5 their last 10, right? You still have fans in that they are disappointed in their team's performance. Now let's go to the other side of the state. They're a game under 500. They're actually technically closer to last place than first place. And their fans are ecstatic. Look, they've been playing great bait. They won five of their last seven. They've been exciting to watch. Josh Bell's had a big year. 27 home runs, 84 knocked in. He's hitting .302. He's a legit star. He struggles against left-handers. No, he actually hits right-handed. Well, he struggles against right-handers. Nah, he's a switch hitter. He actually bats left-handed, too. There are very few cold zones in this guy's swing right now. And the Reynolds kid, he hit a big three-run homer yesterday. And despite the injuries, they have played terrific baseball the last month. So the Phillies are four games over 400. The Phillies are four games over 400. They'd be in the wild card game playing at Washington if the season ended today. And their fans are disappointed. In the western part of the state, they're a game under 500. Two games away from last place, but two and a half away from first place. And their fans are ecstatic. Now, ecstatic to a point. You know how many of the Pirates drew yesterday? Did you see this? Pirates are playing on a Sunday afternoon, 4th of July weekend. And not only that, they're playing really good baseball right now.
A divisional matchup yesterday with Milwaukee. Yeah.
With Milwaukee. They drew 17,000. I mean, they're 26th in attendance right now.
In a couple of weeks, we're taking the nephew out to Pittsburgh for Pirates Phillies on the 21st.
Well, have you been to that park?
It's been a couple of years. I've seen I've seen at least two games there. Beautiful park.
Best ballpark I've been in. Love it. And I think Philadelphia is a great. I love Citizens Bank Park. Love Citizens Bank Park. I think it's just the proximity to the river, and especially if you sit on the third base side, with the skyline just across the river. Philadelphia's a little further away because they've got everything that complex. I mean, the parking there is, Philadelphia's great. I love that park. Citizens Bank Park, love that park.
Me too.
Great park. I think Camden Yards, awesome park. Camden Yards has aged beautifully over the years. I mean, it is as timeless today as the day it was built.
And when that opened up in the early 90s, I mean, that really set the benchmark for then other stadiums to get remodeled.
Absolutely. It's that new old look that the former HOK, and I can't remember what they're called now, because they're involved in some projects here at Penn State. And Scott Radisic works for them. You're going to love it out there. Now, here's where we are. I was talking to a scout from the Minnesota Twins last night. You know what the irony is? He was telling me that, he said, you won't believe this. He said, both my parents are Penn State graduates living down in Houston. He said, so it's kind of eerie for me to come in here. But, you know, the Twins were in scouting. They're looking at the Cardinals prospects and the Marlins prospects last night. Because, look, the trade deadline's coming up, so you want to make sure where you're going with certain things if you make a deal. The Twins right now are 56-33. They have the third best record in the American League. They lead the division by 5.5 over the Indians. Now, they had the best 10-game stretch of late. No, they're 4-6 their last 10. But if the Minnesota Twins were playing over in Flushing Meadow under the name of the New York Mets, the world would be going bonkers over them. And I said this to the scout last night, because I love how the Twins play. They play beautiful baseball. And it shows. I mean, look, they're playing at a better than 600 clip right now. Better than 600 clip. And Max Kepler's having a big year. Kepler's a heck of a player. Eddie Rosario's having a big year. Jorge Polanco's having a big year. I mean, they've got some good players on that team. Jonathan Scope's having a good year. Marwin Gonzalez, they picked him up from the Astros, has been terrific. You know, it's like Jose Berrios is having a really good year. Taylor Rogers is having a good year. They're getting solid middle relief from Trevor May. Jake Odorizzi's had a really good year. They're just a really good team. And I just named a whole bunch of guys that maybe, with the exception of Marwin Gonzalez, you've heard of. You haven't heard of any of these guys. They've quietly put together a really good team. Really good team. Hit in the clutch. Hey, my goodness, Kepler's hit 21 home runs this year. Rosario's already hit 20. But you know what? They aren't the New York Mets. But it's really interesting. Tale of two cities, same state. And right after the All-Star break, they're playing each other, right? That sound right?
Phillies and Nats will play this weekend, and then the following weekend will be the Phillies at the Pirates.
Pirate fans are, hey, look at what we're doing. It's like, your game under 500. The Phillies are like, oh, this really stinks. They're 4-0 in the number two wild card spot.
I would have thought in 2 weeks there'd be nothing but Phillies fans in PNC Park, but if they continue this and the Buccos have a nice week of games after the All-Star break, that may give some Bucco fans a little juice. Go catch some games they didn't plan on going to see.
Well, it didn't yesterday. They had 17,000 yesterday. I mean, that's the disappointing part. They're not catching on with their own fan base in Pittsburgh. Even though I mean, look, they're playing exciting ball. Kevin Newman, right? Reynolds, Bell, Moran, Jung Ho Gung, Vasquez out of the bullpen. I mean, they've got. They're playing really well, and they can't get their own city excited about them. Now, again, they played so poorly early. All this has been done in the last 3 weeks. And, you know, when you play as well as they played the last 3 weeks and you're still a game under 500, that tells me how far you had to come back. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.